It's time for overtime.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking. Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
You are locked in to the preeminent draft show of the season. It is Mock Draft Thursday, still Vikings Thursday. We'll spend some time on the purple and gold coming up here in just a moment. Dustin Baker in studio, drafthuddle.com, Draft Huddle NFL on Twitter. Lot to like about draft day, Thursday, April 23rd. And Dustin, I got to tell you, man, I dropped the ball last night. Typically, as is tradition, I fire on draft day. Kevin Costner, a little bit of a cheeseball, corny movie at times, but overall, love that movie. Usually, that's something that I dive into on a Wednesday night. Slipped my mind last night. Is that something that you dive into this time of year as well?
Not as a tradition, but when my wife and I first got together 11 years ago now, I think the second draft that she sat through, she wanted to watch that to understand the process more, and it actually helped her learn, believe it or not. So I'm all about guilty pleasure movies. When I was a kid, I watched Rocky IV on loop. So I will fully admit the draft day is not absolute cinema, because I'm also a movie guy like you are. But I don't care. I like the fact that it's fun and Kevin Costner is awesome.
Hey, I think it's one of the better sports movies in the last, I don't know, decade or two. It's decent. It definitely has its corny moments and fabrication, weird storylines like the character concerned star quarterback at Wisconsin, not an Ohio State, the clean cut character guy who is a amazing player, amazing person, goes to the Buckeyes and Wisconsin has the quarterback concern. Come on. That's the only thing I don't like about that movie. Kevin Costner and so many more in that one. It is draft day after all. Our mock draft extravaganza begins in about 20 minutes, picks 1 through 10, and then the rest of the round 11 through 32. To follow that. So if you're a Viking fan, you want to tune in for the Minnesota Vikings likely selection. Will it be Emmanuel McNeil Warren? Will it be Dylan Thienemann, the safety from Oregon, or somebody else? We'll dive into the mock draft special here in about 18 minutes on today's program. But first, we'll tell you about the rest of the show. Latest NFL news, draft day buzz coming up in hour two. Our final two previews of draft season, the Jets and the Raiders, two teams that are very wealthy in draft capital, but the New York Jets, the wealthiest in the NFL for the next couple of seasons. We'll dive in to the needs, the wants, the presumptive picks that feel pretty darn predictable at the top for these two. Fernando Mendoza at one. New York Jets, it's kind of a mystery. They hold a lot of cards, 3 picks in the top 33, 4 picks in the top 44. But there is a little bit of a zeroing in that's going on lately odds-wise for pick number 2 tonight. We'll dive into that name to know. So much more in hour number 2. And we finish up the show, NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL topics to know, whip around coverage, and of course, the good, the bad, and the ugly, brought to you by Lewis Drug and Lewis Lawn and Garden. Let's get to the NBA and the highlights from last night. Orlando falls to Detroit 98-83, Cade Cunningham, 27 points, 6 rebounds, 11 assists. That series now tied 1 apiece. It was a sluggish start in a win in game 1 for OKC and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. SGA, 37 points and 9 assists. Mark Dagenau saying he knew his star would bounce back.
The last thing I'm worried about is Shai's shooting efficiency, so you know, I knew he'd bounce back. He calibrated how they were guarding him. I thought, like I said, early in the game, he did a really good job. I thought he had some, like, good shots available that he passed up to get teammates better shots or longer closeouts. He seemed like he was intent on getting the team involved, you know, with the way that Phoenix guarded him in the first game and guarded him again tonight. And then obviously when you do that, you're able to choose your spots as well. And he did that as well. I thought he was outstanding in the third and really stabilized this when he went back in the game in the fourth.
More from Coach Dagano here. A 120-107 victory over Phoenix. OKC takes a 2-0 lead. What was the big difference between Game 1 and Game 2 last night?
A large difference in the game was Phoenix. I thought they had a sharpness tonight that was impressive. I thought, like I said, after Game 1, you have to pace with the series because each team has the same opportunity to improve, and I thought they improved night to night and put us in some tougher spots. So things we can learn from. I thought we did a really good job building the lead that we did in the third, heading into the fourth. Obviously, the fourth was a little wacky. We'll watch that. Some of that, I think, was shot making. You know, we had some good ones that didn't go down. And then other parts of it, I think, were controllable. So definitely stuff to take from the fourth quarter. But generally, you know, it was a good win. You know, we built a strong lead and we're able to hold it.
And that's Mark Dagano. Tonight in the NBA postseason, trio of games, Knicks and the Hawks from Atlanta, 6 o'clock on Prime Video. That series tied one apiece. New York favored by the thinnest of margins, 1.5 points on the road. Cavs at Raptors, 7 o'clock on Prime. Cleveland leads 2-0. A 2.5-point road favorite are the Cavaliers. And lastly, up against the NFL draft, Timberwolves and Nuggets from Minneapolis, 8:30 on Prime Video tonight. Series tied one apiece. Denver, a slim road favorite. That number this morning is 2.5. Stanley Cup playoffs last night. Philly continuing to absolutely dominate their in-state rival Pittsburgh, 5-2. The final in Game 3. That is a commanding 3-0 series lead for the Flyers, the team that has not had the postseason success lately that Pittsburgh has had over the last 10, 15, 20 years. A 3-0 lead for Philly, 5-2 the win last night. Then Minnesota got a pretty good performance, all things considered, last night, but a double overtime loss at home in St. Paul to the Dallas Stars. Stars have roared back in the series. They lead it 2-1. Game 4 on the way from St. Paul later in the week, into the weekend. But Minnesota loses in double overtime, 4-3. Last night. And lastly, surprising result from Edmonton. Anaheim comes north of the border and beats up the Oilers to the tune of a 6-4 final. That series now tied 1 game apiece. Tonight in the NHL, Sabres and Bruins lock horns at 6 o'clock on TNT. That series tied 1 apiece. Canes and Senators from Ottawa. Carolina leads 2-0, 6:30 on TBS. And the Avalanche with a 2-0 lead visit the LA Kings tonight for Game 3, 9 o'clock on TNT. The NFL draft is tonight. I will not stop talking about it, but a lot of people might not be talking about Ty Simpson, landing spots, teams that love him, because there might not be teams out there that love him. Here's Matt Miller.
We're all assuming that the Arizona Cardinals will trade back into the draft tonight to take him. If the entire world knows that the Cardinals are going to trade back into the first round to take him and no one else is going to, if you're Arizona, do you really have to jump back in tonight to get him, unless you just want to lock up that fifth-year option? So he is, outside of love, I think probably the most fascinating player tonight, just because of, I think, where expectations are versus the reality. I haven't talked to a single team that says, yeah, he's our guy, we love him, we'd take him in the first round. Instead, when you talk to teams, they tell you, we think the Cardinals will probably take him. So no one's willing to claim Ty Simpson as their guy this year.
No one is willing to claim Ty Simpson as their guy this year. That's not really much of an endorsement. Round number one coming tonight at 7 o'clock. Round 2 and 3 tomorrow night at 6. And Saturday, rounds 4 through 7 begin at 11 a.m. Major League Baseball Twins nearly prolonged the Mets' losing streak to 13 games. They had a nice performance from Connor Prelip, the young left-hander. 4 innings on the mound, 6 strikeouts in his debut. But Minnesota loses to the Mets 3-2, and the Mets snap that embarrassing 12-game losing skid. Here's manager Derek Shelton on what cost the team late.
Yeah, we gave away free passes late. You know, we can't walk guys, and the walks ended up, you know, turning into runs that scored later or late in the game.
Minnesota falls to 12-12. Other finals from the AL Central yesterday. Cleveland was blanked at home to Houston 2-0. Kansas City falls at home to Baltimore 8-6. And then the Chicago White Sox lose in the desert to the Diamondbacks 11-7. Today and tonight, same time, same place for the Twins at the Mets. 5:30 pregame, 6:10 official start time for Game 3 of that series. Let's reach across the table now. Dustin Baker of DraftTuttle.com, the place to go. VikingsTerritory.com for your Vikings interest. Welcome into the show, my friend. Happy draft day to you.
Yeah, likewise. I think this, we do this about 50 times per year, you and I think this is probably my favorite episode that we do together, or at least top three. When we get to week one, that week is really exciting. But this one is also palpable for excitement, and I can't wait to jump into this mock with you.
Hey, I certainly love the who wins and why segments during the season, power rankings, breakdowns, thoughts on the Vikings and the Packers. But I agree, I'm a draft nerd, you're a draft nerd, and this is the nerdiest of nerd days in the NFL calendar. Can't wait to dive into it. We got the mock draft coming up around the corner, so a lot of times you dive into the prospects, the who's, the what's, the where's, the when's, and the why's. Let's talk about Vikings news this week. What's moving the needle for the purple and gold?
Absolutely, my friend. So most importantly, there was a press conference, a pre-draft version, and the Vikings revealed a little bit of intel, but it was kind of stuff that we thought we already knew. Kevin O'Connell was asked about Harrison Smith, and he joked with the reporter, like, hey, thanks for bringing that up. I got to go bug him again. That shows you the mystery. We don't know. There was not long ago, I think last offseason, Harrison Smith said that, one day he's going to retire and nobody's going to know it. And I'm starting to wonder if this is his way of doing it. Like, he didn't want any type of, like, tweet or anything. Maybe he's just gone. But regardless, the Vikings still need a safety replacement at some point. The Harrison Smith mystery remains 50-50 about him retiring or returning. There's also not a good press conference for J.J. McCarthy. Justin Jefferson was there and basically said that McCarthy's got to step it up this summer if he wants to dethrone Kyler Murray. And we already know that, but for you to say that about the guy who was your unabashed QB1 last year shows where you're at. Like, we all know that Kyler Murray is going to be the QB1. And then asked about Jonathan Greenard, who remains a trade candidate, the Vikings said kind of the stereotypical NFL speak thing, like, we expect him to be a part of the team, but you always listen to offers. Usually when you start saying that about people, that means that he can get got. I think if he gets moved tomorrow night, that'll probably be for a second rounder, hopefully not too far down in round two. And then some personnel stuff. The Vikings released a CFL defensive tackle named Jalen Hutchings, but that's just the injury maintenance thing. He's supposed to be back perhaps in a couple weeks, depending on how this draft goes. Ivan Pace locked in his tender, so he's back on a really cheap deal for $3 million or something like that, adding inside linebacker depth. And then I think the final thing that I focused on was there's been a lot of momentum this week in the Vikings mock draft community for Kenyon Sadiq, who I would love and I hope happens tonight. But Adam Schefter said that he expects this pick to be a defensive player. And I know that's not a bold take because Dylan Thanemann is a darling, but if you think about it, in round one, the Vikings have drafted offensive players in 2019, 2020, 2021, 2023, 2024, and 2025. As a matter of balancing the scale, at some point, naturally, I think you have to start drafting defensive players, hopefully good ones, because we've had a drought drafting anybody really in the last four seasons. So I personally expect the pick to be a defensive player tonight. We'll dive into that in the next couple segments. Although I will not be mad if they leave the draft with Kenyon Sadiq.
And Kenyon Sadiq, a darling of many teams. I saw him linked to the Eagles yesterday. Speaking of Jonathan Greenard, there was a report out earlier this week that the Eagles were interested, which, of course, I'm slamming the table saying, no, no, no. I think you and I kind of bond over our hatred for all things Philadelphia pro sports. But obviously, Eagles will get a lot better with Jonathan Greenard. If it ends up being their second-round pick, is that enough for you? And does it make it a little sour that it might be Philly?
Well, certainly would make it sour if it's Philly, because I do not like them. Here's where I'm at on Greenard. With the Vikings signing Kyler Murray, they are showing through their actions that they believe they're a contender. You can laugh at that. That's fine. Folks listening can laugh at that. But they're going to believe that they can win this thing. Usually teams who are Super Bowl contenders don't get rid of pass rushers. Now, Jonathan Greenard has a couple things going against him. He had three sacks last year. And he's probably asking for a contract worth $35 million per season. That's like the going rate now after Will Anderson last weekend. Can a guy who just had three sacks in 12 games really say in good faith, like, give me $35 million, please? So I think that kind of hurts this trade sweepstakes, because the Eagles are probably saying, like, you really want us to give you a second rounder and then pay that guy $35 million? Like, it'd be a completely different ballgame if he had his customary 10, 11, 12 sacks. But he didn't. He had a bunch of pressures and a bunch of almost sacks. If he's destined to be traded, like if the Vikings already know that behind closed doors, we're not playing this guy $35 million, I would say yes, go ahead and do it with the Eagles. I think you get their 51st, 52nd pick. I think it's in the second round. But the ironic part is you're going to have to turn around as a Vikings executive or fan and draft an edge rusher. because it's Andrew Van Ginkle and Dallas Turner after Grenard, and Andrew Van Ginkle is scheduled to hit free agency next year. So I would rather them find a way just to keep Grenard and keep it simple. He's a wonderful football player. But if you have to trade him, make sure you don't accept anything less than a second rounder.
When you're talking about your team, we talk a lot about the big needs, as we should. Safety, you talk about wide receiver three. We've talked about that the last couple of weeks. Corner's a need. How much of a need is edge rusher right now, even with Grenard, to kind of restock and backfill the depth pieces and get a young guy in there to be the next guy waiting in the wings? Because Dallas Turner certainly earned his opportunity. You mentioned Van Ginkle contract year, Grenard shaky ground and limited production a year ago. Edge rusher a need, but then also offensive line depth. Do you expect this team to draft a couple offensive linemen?
So if Jonathan Grenard is not traded, then there is no qualms whatsoever with a defensive or outside linebacker depth, the edge rusher, because we spend most of our time during a regular season wondering, how is Dallas Turner going to get his snaps? Is somebody going to get hurt so he can actually play? So there is no, like, I think OLB is the deepest spot on the Vikings roster, but if Grenard leaves, then it's all up in the air, because Dallas Turner's feet will be to the fire to perform as a starter, and then the depth guys after Van Ginkle and Turner are Tyler Batty and Bo Richter, who are UDFAs. So I don't think an edge rusher is a pronounced need, but the thing is, if Rob Brzezinski, the interim general manager, truly believes in best player available, then it really doesn't matter what position you're drafting. So if they want to get Keldrick Falk, that's fine, or Akeem Mesidor, who's an old rookie, then you get Rich. Offensive line, after they get a center, there's a big four in this draft. It's Sam Hecht, Connor Liu, Logan Jones, and Jake Slaughter, and I expect the Vikings to draft one of those. They've got depth guys. Blake Brandel can play every position. And then the dude from Wisconsin last year got some playing time. That
Joe Huber.
Yeah, that UDFA.
Yep.
So if we assume Will Fries plays a little bit better, you know, they signed him to a big contract in 2025. No, I don't expect offensive line to be a need today or tomorrow besides the center spot.
Back to the Eagles real quick, just to kind of gauge the reality of a potential move for Jonathan Grenard. If they want to, I think that's an attractive pick. Number 54 overall in round two.
That's
they also
fair.
Own number 68 at the tippy top of round number three. So that's some pretty decent draft capital for the Eagles to part ways with.
What we have to consider about the Eagles, whether it's tonight on the draft list or a trade for Grenard, is usually when you look at the Eagles roster, you're like, good Lord, is there any weak spots? But right now at edge, they have Nolan Smith and Jalix Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's it, besides some guy that they signed as a depth guy, I think about 2 weeks ago. Normally they have Josh Sweat or Brandon Graham, and they got an embarrassment of riches, and you're like, this team has no weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, if you want to roll into a season being a Super Bowl contender with Jalix Hunt and Nolan Smith, you're going to have a bottom-tier edge rushing group, which is just usually unbecoming of how the Eagles do business.
And certainly is true. You talk about Philly, and any championship team is this way. As soon as you win a Super Bowl, even if you have sustained success like the Niners did at the pinnacle of the NFC and getting to championship games and Super Bowl appearances, the buzzers will come calling for your roster, for your coaches. And the Eagles retained that core mostly after their Super Bowl win. Milton Williams and a couple other guys leave town. But this offseason, N'Kobe Dean out, so many other guys leaving the roster. It's kind of that time for a little bit of a veteran reset in Philly.
And they got a kind of, like, regroup on the fly and try to win a Super Bowl now, because if you peek at dead cap numbers, like in 2028, 2029, it's obscene what the Eagles have pushed the, you know, kicked the can down the road. We're talking hundreds of millions of dollars of dead cap, a lot more than anybody else. So if you believe that the cap is not a myth, as the saying goes, the Eagles are going to have to pay the piper soon, and it just is really awkward timing to have all these reports about how Jalen Hurts isn't the guy to lead their passing offense, so there's questions in the locker room about him. I think before too long, on your very show, we'll be talking about how the Eagles have began a decline. Probably not this year, but the piper is going to be paid.
And certainly there's a lot of moving pieces there, including A.J. Brown reports that he will be moved in June, likely to the New England Patriots. We will dive into a break. That's the all the Vikings talk for now on the show. We have a long, long show ahead, including our mock draft, which gets underway here in just a moment. I will take the odd picks, which means I'm going to take Fernando Mendoza at number one. We will dive all the way through the top 10 when we come back. And then the remainder of round one, picks 11 through 32, coming up at the end of our number one. Keep it here. Dustin Baker across the table, drafthuddle.com and VikingsTerritory.com, of course, as well. Back with more of the Thursday edition of Overtime next, right here on your Sioux Falls Sports Leader.
tacos.
Overtime is in the middle of your workday. Unwrap your sandwich and get caught up with Bert Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you. It is finally at long last draft day. It is mock draft day here on the program, part of Vikings Thursday. Dustin Baker in the studio. Dustin, you got a new project off and running. I think it's year number two for DraftHuddle.com. Talk to us about that.
Sure. DraftHuddle.com is a little bit different. My pal and I, Yannick Eckhart, who is the boss at PurplePTSD.com, we've always kind of joked that these really, really good draft sites like the Draft Network and NFL Draft Buzz, they are wonderful for this time of year. But when we get to the regular season, they're like all rookies are abandoned. Mm-hmm. Like we just stopped caring about that class. So one of our spins, in addition to covering the draft with mock drafts, scouting reports, is we follow rookies after they are drafted to figure out in year one who's the best of the best. So that is our little, I guess, caveat in our thumbprint on the internet is DraftHuddle.com. It's the usual draft coverage on top of following the guys after they're picked by their NFL teams.
And certainly a lot of expert opinions weighing in on all of the picks in action tonight. Will Ty Simpson go in the first round? That's one of the big questions that needs answering. We're not going to do any trades in round one. We can talk about, hey, I really think this might happen, especially at the back end of round one. We could talk about and forecast a potential Ty Simpson maneuver or trade, but we're going to let it rip here on our 2026 NFL first round mock draft. I'm on the clock. I'm not going to waste any time right now and tell you that the Las Vegas Raiders, whether it's a cozy bed to lay in right now, it's not. They got a lot better this offseason. They're going to take quarterback Fernando Mendoza tonight at number one overall. So you've got pick number two of the New York Jets, my friend. Where are you going? Because there's a couple different names in play here.
The first thing I want to do for listeners is to make sure they know this is how we think the draft will go. Mm-hmm. There are two different kinds of mock drafts. You can do one that, hey, this is what I would do, this is what I want to see. Or you can do what Bert and I are doing, which is predicting the landing spots. Mm-hmm. So, with that said, this number two spot for the Jets has actually been annoying if you want to predict this right. It's been annoying because it's totally up in the air between Arvell Reese from Ohio State and David Bailey. I think the pick is going to be David Bailey mm-hmm. if the Jets stay put, because Arvell Reese is probably a better football player, but I think David Bailey is a more fine-tuned pass rusher. Like, Arvell Reese, like, there's a mystery about whether or not he's an inside or outside linebacker. Kind of like Micah Parsons.
Yep, he's played all over.
Five years ago. So I think what the Jets need is what Aaron Glenn will want is an edge rusher. And although Arvell Reese can do that, that's what David Bailey does. So as a prediction, I will take Bailey to the Jets.
All right. David Bailey going to the New York Jets. Pick number three. This is extraordinarily tough to forecast here. I'm going to have to do it, though. We talked off air about the running back position. Where does he go? Who does he play for? I don't think this is a positional value pick, but I do think what will happen tonight, unfortunately, for a lot of fantasy football folks, is that Jeremiah Love is going to land in the desert and become the figurehead of the offense for the Arizona Cardinals. Don't love the pick or positional value. Absolutely love the player. Jeremiah Love, number three to Arizona. You've got the Titans at number four.
Okay, so I would have personally had Love going to the Titans, mm-hmm. but since you've flipped the script here, and this is a reasonable prediction, we keep hearing here in these last 48 hours that Love to Arizona is real. We can't let Arvell Reese slide any further, mm-hmm. and I'm guessing that the Titans will be astonished that he's still there. Arvell Reese had one of the, he and Sonny Styles, their combines were fantastic. So I'm going to go, I can't let Arvell Reese slide any further than four, so he is a Titan.
Arvell Reese going number four overall. I've got a feeling it's going to be an Ohio State kind of party in the top 10. There's a lot of different playmakers that could be available. Arvell Reese, Sonny Styles, Caleb Downs. Carnell Tate, the wide receiver out of Ohio State. The Giants at pick five hold two total picks in the top 10, 5 and 10. So they'll have their pick of the litter here. And foundational pieces, a guy that loves his defense is the new head coach there in John Harbaugh. I'm going to go with the top safety in the draft here. Caleb Downs at number five overall to the New York Giants, which gives you The stinkiest team of teams that have ever stunk, the Cleveland Browns, at pick number 6. Where do they go, and do they take Ty Simpson at 6?
They better not. Okay, so the Browns, they're going to pick again for our sake about a half hour from now. I think here, based on their offensive tackle situation, which is DeJuan Jones, who didn't offer much last year. I think he got hurt. And then Titus Howard is a dude they just acquired. Like, you could maybe get by with that if you have everything else in place, but we know the Browns do not. So I think that they have to go tackle here, and then maybe they'll get a playmaker at number 24, I believe it is. So mm-hmm. I am going to go with Utah's Spencer Fano, however that's pronounced, offensive tackle to the Browns.
All right, and Fano is ranked in the top 12 as we move to pick number 7 for the Commanders. Lots of needs here, running back, wide receiver, defensive line, safety. There's no defensive line fit this early. Safety might be a reach early on because Caleb Downs off the board. And for the Washington Commanders, there's a lot of different ways you could go. They might go best player available. So I'm going to do just that here. And I'm going to dive in with Reuben Bain Jr., the edge rusher, heading to the Washington Commanders at pick number 7.
Okay, so is it I am correct here that we don't have Sonny Styles drafted yet?
We do not have Sonny Styles off the board, and the Saints do have a linebacker knee that okay. might be the pick here at number 8. You tell me.
Yeah, if the goal here is to be accurate, and I believe it is, we can't let Sonny Styles fall any uh-huh. longer. I thought you were going to take him with the Giants pick, mm-hmm. and then maybe the Giants could also get down to 10. But I'm going to end this madness for Sonny Styles and give him to the Saints or vice versa, Styles to New Orleans.
A lot of opportunity for the Kansas City Chiefs to reload. They lost a cornerback in Trent McDuffie via trade. They've got 2 first-round picks, and the Chiefs have needs at wide receiver, edge rusher, defensive back. A lot to choose from here. Defensive back feels like one of the better picks, but is there really a guy that meets the value there? I feel pretty firm in saying Carnell Tate is the top 10 talent. I'm going to dive right into that. Carnell Tate at pick number 9. For the Kansas City Chiefs.
That brings me to the Giants at 10. We already have them taking Caleb Downs. This is another team kind of like the Dolphins or Browns where they could get away with taking anything here. I think their right tackle right now is Jermaine Ulamoner.
Yep.
And he's decent, but he is not a guy that's going to take any of these rookie offensive tackle jobs. So I will go with Francis Maoyoga mm-hmm. from Miami. Bad pronunciation by me. I think they'll go offensive tackle here after getting Downs at pick number 5.
All right. That is the top 10. Certainly a wide swath of opinion. That's really a tough prediction, to be honest with you, where these guys go. I feel like we nailed most of the guys that will be taken mm-hmm. in the top 10, but the order of which is very much up for debate there. What fits? What makes the most sense? Mendoza 1, Bailey 2 to the Jets. I feel pretty confident in those two. Bailey's odds have shifted quite heavily to being the second overall pick, Jeremiah Love, Arvell Reese, Caleb Downs in the top 5, Spencer Fano, Reuben Bain Jr., Sonny Styles, Carnell Tate, and Francis, I believe it's Mawano, how you pronounce that okay. one, for the tackle out of Miami. That is the top 10 of our NFL mock draft, picks 11 through 32, which includes pick number 18 to the Minnesota Vikings coming up around the horn. We'll take a break, come back with that and so much more. Will Dustin Baker take the darling of Vikings draft coverage, Dylan Thienemann, at pick 18 if he's there? Will it be Emmanuel McNeil Warren or somebody else? Find out next. Our mock draft special on a Thursday continues after this.
You want more of Overtime? It's all on the podcast. Free with the app or online at ESPN Sioux Falls. Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
Right back with you. It is draft day Thursday, April 23rd, and the edition of Overtime continuing. Vikings Thursday taking place right now by our NFL mock draft. Picks 1 through 10 flew off the board. Of course, I took Fernando Mendoza at 1. David Bailey goes 2 to the Jets. Jeremiah Love, 3 to the Cardinals. Arvell Reese, the Ohio State pass rusher, linebacker, hybrid, number 4 to Tennessee. Caleb Downs, the Buckeye safety, 5 to the New York Giants. Spencer Fano, first tackle off the board to the tackle needy Cleveland Browns. And then the rest of the first top 10, Reuben Bain to Washington, Sonny Styles to New Orleans, Carnell Tate, first receiver off the board to Kansas City, and then Francis Maoyoga, Mauno, however you say his last name, the second tackle off the board heading to the Big Apple for the New York football, used to be football, Giants. Let's dive into picks 11 through 32 right now in Miami. They are completely down to the studs. And by that, I mean they bulldozed their house and they have a few cornerstones to build on. Devon Achane, not for sale. Malik Willis, new quarterback in town. That's just about the end of the list in Miami. They need some foundational pieces. How about a cornerback here? LSU's Mansoor Delane was an early darling of the Vikings draft. That was the first name I saw projected to the Vikings. I believe that was back in the season. I think Delane goes off the board at pick 11 here to the Miami Dolphins. You are up with one of two picks that you'll have an opportunity to take both of the Cowboys selections here in round one, pick 12 to the Dallas Cowboys.
All right, speaking of guys who are frequently mock drafted to the Vikings, there was a podcast, I think earlier this week, I think it was called The Joe Klatt Show, and Daniel Jeremiah was on it and said that he believes Dylan Thienemann to the Cowboys is a real thing. And I can see that fit on top of the Cowboys usually doing something that, not bad, but it's a little goofy that makes you go, oh, that was a little early for that, like Tyler Booker last year. So I will say to these Cowboys who could use a safety, they're not hurting, but they could use one for the long term. Dylan Thienemann, Oregon Duck, goes to Jerry World.
All right. Dylan Thienemann, Oregon to the Dallas Cowboys. And that would be a shock and much to the chagrin of a lot of Vikings fans that have seen that name. They've watched the film. They've grinded on the tape and said, I can't wait for that guy to be a part of our defense. But wait, he goes to Dallas, which sets me up for pick number 13. To the LA Rams. They had a notable retirement recently on the offensive line. Pair of retirements, Whitworth and Havenstein. I'm going to go with another tackle here. A boring pick, out of Georgia. This is a premier position in the first round. This guy's going to go tonight in round one. Monroe Freeling out of Georgia. I will head to the LA Rams at pick number 13.
That brings me to number 14 with the Baltimore Ravens, and I'm a little nervous that we're letting Mekhi Lemon and Jordan Tyson fall. I don't know if that's realistic, but I've been on this pick for the Ravens for, I think, three mock drafts. I am going Vega Yowani from Penn State. He's the, I think, probably the only guard that's going to go. The Ravens just lost interior offensive line juice with Tyler Linderbaum to the Raiders, so give me Yowani to the Ravens at number 14.
And that's the top guard in the NFL draft class tonight. And another guy worth noting, Caden Proctor out of Alabama, played tackle in college, likely to move inside to guard, at least potentially move inside to guard coming up at the next level. Pick number 15, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tight end is a need. Guard is a need. Edge rusher, linebacker. There's a lot of names to choose from here. And as we dive into it, this is a name that to me feels like a logical fit here for Tampa. And I might be ticking my co-host off here if I'm off the board too far. Akeem Mezidor for Miami. He was the more productive pass rusher in terms of generating sacks last year over Reuben Bain. So Tampa Bay gets a reinforcement, much needed reinforcement at edge rusher with an in-state prospect in Miami edge rusher Akeem Mezidor at pick 15.
Oh, I think that is going to happen.
All right, there we go.
If you look at a sampling of Buccaneers mock drafts, it's either Mesidor or Kenyon Sadiq. So the way this board's shaping up, Sadiq will probably be available for a few more picks, but I digress. If this board transpires the way that we have, the New York Jets are going to love it because they need wide receivers, and I don't think there's a world that they could have imagined where both Jordan Tyson and Mekhi Lemon are available. I am going to take Mekhi Lemon to the Jets. The only thing that I dislike about Jordan Tyson is that his injury resume is like a wrestler's or a boxer's. It, like, there's just too many things on it. I think that NFL teams will trust Lemon's durability more so than Tyson, although Tyson might be the better player. So give me Mekhi Lemon, who I had mock drafted to the Rams. I want to have him go to the Jets here.
It's an interesting offseason for the Detroit Lions because the Motor City Kitties do not need the sexy pick this year. They don't need a running back. They don't need a receiver. They really don't need much of a pass rusher right now in terms of these needs. Tackle, defensive line, linebacker. I'm going to be boring here and dive into a guy that I think sneaks into round number one, and this might surprise, but Blake Miller out of Clemson, another premium position. The Lions are desperate with a capital D for offensive line replacement. Taylor Decker and so many other guys have left the offensive line ranks recently. I'm going to dive into Blake Miller out of Clemson. Yes, that's a reach, but it certainly fills a massive need for Detroit.
All right, we are to these Minnesota Vikings. So here is what's happened. I made my personal prediction for tonight, which I will maintain, that the pick will be Peter Woods, a defensive tackle from Clemson. But I made that pick on my own time with the pretense that Kenyon Sadiq will not be available. So I'm going to thread the needle here. If Sadiq is on this board, as it is for us, I think the Vikings will take the best player available. They've claimed that they're in the business to do that. And they will draft Oregon Duck Kenyon Sadiq at tight end. TJ Hockenson is scheduled to be a free agent next year. And I think I know he would seamlessly replace Hockenson. So although I think Woods is the pick, I'm going to go with Kenyon Sadiq in this mock draft.
All right, Kenyon Sadiq. And to clarify, we'll give it a little more oxygen here. With the Minnesota Vikings and Peter Woods, is that a stick and pick prediction at 18 for you, or is that a trade down and get Peter Woods?
Okay, so what led me to that was predicting the Vikings' first pick of the draft is Peter Woods, because I can see both things happening. Mm-hmm. They reached last year for Donovan Jackson, believe it or not, but they did it because they knew the Texans would take Donovan Jackson. So in that regard, I think Peter Woods is like number 30 on the consensus big board. The Vikings could reach for him a little bit, or they can trade down 3, 4, 5, 6 spots and still get Peter Woods. So it is both, but at the end of the day, I'll be accountable for it being at number 18.
Speaking of our board, every year we have fallers. I remember fondly Dallas Turner falling, and then he fell on draft night. We got pretty darn lucky there with being decent prognosticators, and this player has fallen way too far. Dan Morgan commented last week about, yeah, I don't see any problem. There's no rule of not drafting a receiver in the first round 3 years in a row. Xavier Leggett, last year they got Tet McMillan, who had a much, much nicer rookie season than Leggett did in Charlotte. I'm going to go Jordan Tyson here for the Carolina Panthers, who somehow, someway still have a wide receiver need after back-to-back first-round wide receiver picks. So up to pick 20 now in the Dallas Cowboys for you.
All right, so last summer there was this really weird Micah Parsons trade rumor sweepstakes, and I'm like, are they really going to do that? And then, of course, they did it, and the one team they had to trade him to was the Green Bay Packers. Vikings fans did not like that. I did not like that. They begin to erase the sins of trading Micah Parsons by drafting Keldrick Falk from Auburn, who should be one of the top edge rushers in this draft. He's really young. And this will be part of the plan that they sell to us, that we won't really miss Micah Parsons because we have Keldrick Falk.
There's a lot of different needs here for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and there's not really any fits. Quarterback, I don't think they're going to draft Ty Simpson at 21. We're sticking and picking, no trades allowed. Running back, nobody meets the value. Guard and tackle, same. Caden Proctor could slide up. Maybe it's the Max Iheanacher guy from Arizona State that could sneak up to pick number 21 for Pittsburgh. But I like their offensive line. I don't love it. I like it. I think it's time for them to dig into the trenches on the other side of the ball. They've got Hayward, who has been there a zillion years. He's back and ready for more. Let's plan ahead here. This is a guy that I am very firm in going in round number one. Maybe not as high as 21, but Ohio State defensive lineman Caden McDonald to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Another reacheroo. But again, Steelers don't have a whole lot of needs that match the value right now on our board at pick 21.
All right, I am to the Chargers. Do you have the Chargers, the remaining needs?
Yes, wide receiver, guard, defensive lineman, and safety.
Okay, so this is where...
Could be Emmanuel McNeil Warren.
Yeah, I have him going to Chicago. I don't know if that's going to happen, but this one's tricky. I will go with Peter Woods here. If they need an interior defensive lineman, he's the top guy. Next to, your guy, Caden, who you just drafted.
So yeah.
I'll take Peter Woods to the Chargers.
All right. Peter Woods to the Chargers, making our way down the board. Philadelphia, wide receiver, tackle, edge rusher, safety. They might be in the market for an edge rusher in Jonathan Greenard. I'm not going to go there, though. I think Philly is too impatient, and they love their, oh, my gosh, they just got that guy kind of pick. And I'm going to go wide receiver Omar Cooper Jr. Here for Philadelphia. I think they addressed this A.J. Brown trade head on, and they will not be underprepared heading into the season as they land the Indiana Flyer in Omar Cooper Jr.
Do the Browns on your list need a corner?
They're not listed as a primary need. Okay. Quarterback, wide receiver, guard, tackle. But Cleveland needs everything all the time.
Okay, so we already have Spencer Fanoh going to the Browns at number 6. They're not going to double up, I don't think, on offensive tackles. I guess they could in theory. I don't think that we should have Jermaine McCoy slide too much further for realism's sake.
Yep.
But I will say that the wide receiving core, it's weird. Jerry Jeudy's only good when there is a Jameis Winston there.
Yep.
And it feels like his stock is low. And then after him, they really need some help. So I'm between KC Concepcion and Denzel Boston here. I will go with Concepcion to the Browns at number 24.
All right. So KC Concepcion, for you fantasy football players out there, that is a name to know, apparently, as a really, really good player. Chicago Bears, you said Emmanuel McNeil, Warren, I could be talked into Jermaine McCoy, Avion Terrell. They need secondary help for continuity's sake. I'm going to dive into that safety spot with Emmanuel McNeil, Warren for Chicago, but I could very well see them taking a corner at that spot tonight as well at pick number 25 because they lost pretty much everybody in the secondary this offseason. They did add a safety in Kobe Bryant from Seattle, but I'm going to give him Emmanuel McNeil Warren there at pick 25.
All right, the Buffalo Bills are up next, and I was looking at the Bills roster last night, and it's pretty impressive. I think we're at the point where we don't have to demand that they draft a wide receiver because they traded for DJ Moore. So I'm going to go with edge help here. They already have Bradley Chubb and Greg Rousseau. I think they'll go for a younger option. Let's go TJ Parker from Clemson.
TJ Parker from Clemson, a edge rusher. How about the Niners? They're in a spot right now where a lot of that core has started to evaporate. They finally got the deal done with Trent Williams. He'll be back. They need guard help, tackle help, edge help, safety help. The edge rushers are a premium spot. There's no real safety for round one still available, so you kind of got to scream desperation here. Tackle or edge, Cassius Howell or Caden Proctor, maybe Maxi Anacher. I'm going to dive into that Arizona State tackle here for San Francisco as they plan ahead, reinforce that offensive line with another tackle, potential guard in Maxi Anacher out of Arizona State.
That brings us to Houston, and you pissed me off because you took Caden McDonald.
Oh, boy.
That was the Texans. Their depth chart on defense doesn't really have weak spots, but if you had a gun to your head to choose one, it'd probably be nose tackle. But there's not anyone here. I don't think they would reach for Lee Hunter. That'd be quite the reach. So DeMeco Ryans, what he does is a defense. So he's going to draft the best defensive player available, and although they may not have an extreme need for a cornerback, who cares? Let's give him Jermaine McCoy, Houston Texans.
Jermaine McCoy, and that's quite the slide for McCoy over to pick number 29. We are almost done with our mock draft extravaganza. If you missed it, it fell a decent way for the Vikings. They did not get the Edelman. He's off the board at 12 to Dallas. They had the opportunity to take Peter Woods or Kenyon Sadiq, a draft darling of Dustin Baker, the tight end out of Oregon. He goes with Sadiq earlier on. You got both picks for the Cowboys. I get both picks for Kansas City. I did not address the secondary with their initial pick. I reinforced the wide receiver spot earlier on at pick number 9 with Carnell Tate. So I'm going to go secondary here. We talked off air about the cornerback spot, Colton Hood, Avion Terrell. Give me Terrell at pick number 29. For the Kansas City Chiefs. Again, pick 29 for the corner out of Clemson.
I thought you were going to effectuate your Chris Johnson agenda.
I should have done. Yeah, we still have Chris Johnson on the board.
All right. Let it be known that these two guys think Chris Johnson will go off the board in round one.
Mm-hmm.
I am to the Miami Dolphins. You summed it up best about 5 to 8 minutes ago. The Dolphins, if you look at their roster, there's no need to debate best player available versus positional need because they merge in Miami. They need every single thing. There's not a thing that's off limits. And I do think Denzel Boston will go somewhere in round one. And the Dolphins, they got rid of Tyreek Hill. They got rid of Jaylen Waddle. I mean, they got rid of everybody. If you go look at
Chubb. Yep.
Yeah, do this when you have a spare time this weekend. Go look at the departures from Miami Dolphins. And I'm not kidding. It's 30 guys. Mm-hmm. It's over half the team.
And their signees, it's 30 guys with $1 million or less contract.
Yeah,
on a 1 year deal.
It is incredible. So they do, no matter what, need wide receiver help for Malik Willis to ensure that experiment gets off on the right foot. I will go Denzel Boston from Washington.
All right. Probably the biggest faller we have close to it is C.J. Allen, the linebacker out of Georgia. If we're sticking and picking at pick number 31, the Patriots need a tackle. They need defensive line, need a linebacker. I've seen the Maxi Anacher kid go to pick 31 for the Patriots quite often in this draft process. I'm going to go C.J. Allen out of Georgia. Off-ball linebacker, probably the top, second-best off-ball linebacker in the first round of this NFL draft. C.J. Allen to the Patriots at pick 31, which tees you up for the final pick of round one. which you've got an opinion about. If you could trade it, you probably would.
All right, the 32nd pick, it was advertised by the team's, I think, owner.
Mm-hmm. And general manager earlier
this week that said that we are actually trying to trade this. So there's no secret here. If they can't do that, I think the only way the Seahawks, like what they would do here is probably go edge rusher. Like they don't have, like they just won a Super Bowl. Their roster is not depleted at all. I think edge rusher would be like Cassius Howell if they had to remain in that pick. They could also shock the world and go Jadarian Price a little bit early. But I do ultimately think that this is the prime spot to trade away this pick for Ty Simpson. So you're talking about whether the Steelers know if Aaron Rodgers is coming back. The Cardinals are probably the front runner. The Jets, depending on their long-term plan with Geno Smith. So I will say, let's go with Ty Simpson to the Cardinals in a trade so they can get the fifth-year option.
All right, so Ty Simpson, pick number 32. That is a trade that we absolutely will allow at the buzzer. That is round number one. We are all over the place there, but certainly we missed out on a few best players available. Chris Johnson, not ranked high on the board I'm using. He's like a 44, 45 overall draft prospect. I do think he goes in round one. Mm-hmm. As we break that down, who's your best player still available if you can grab it quickly? And then also, who's the guy that you think we drafted between the two of us that might not be a first-round pick?
Okay, so if we got anything on this board wrong, it is that Caleb Lomu, an offensive tackle, will be taken tonight somewhere. If we got anything wrong, it is that Avian Terrell will be taken tonight somewhere. Avian Terrell, he's had a really bad draft lead-up, and it's not a good time to have a bad draft lead-up.
Yep.
He missed the combine because he was hurt. He was hurt for Clemson's pro day. Then he had his personal pro day, and he got hurt on the first play. All of that, to me, screams round two, and I think that is where he's destined, and I agree with you that the former Avion Terrell spot is going to be inhabited by Chris Johnson of San Diego State tonight.
So there you go. I will tell you this, Avion Terrell, one of my favorite watches of the entire pre-draft process. His film is absolutely bonkers. Reminds me of a Jair Alexander. In on every play, fearless, will take on a tackle in the run game, will break up a pass, will destroy Adam Thielen at the line of scrimmage. I like Avion Terrell. Certainly would not surprise me if he is in round number two. Somehow, some way, we're out of time. Fun mock draft is always with you, my friend.
Yeah, are you going to be able to give me a call tomorrow so we can decompress the Vikings pick?
I am actually diving into Thor Nystrom in hour two, but okay. I will absolutely, if you want to dive in deep to the Vikings pick, we could have you back on the show tomorrow.
Okay, yeah, sounds great.
All right, well, we look forward to that, certainly. Dustin Baker on the show tomorrow. Thursday edition halfway done. We'll dive into the latest headlines and highlights, news from the NFL, our final draft previews of the process. The Jets and the Raiders, pick number two, pick number one. We dive into that, NBA talk, NHL chatter, and the good, the bad, the ugly before we're done on a Thursday. That's coming up next. It's Vikings Thursday, a mock draft Thursday edition of Overtime coming up right now. And hour number two around the corner on ESPN Sioux Falls.